You got a Bible, you turn with us over in the book of Acts, chapter number 4 this evening. Appreciate the good day the Lord's given us, and how good He's been to us. Sure, I'm glad we got the choir full of young'uns singing, amen. Now bless Him for that. Glad we got some that raised their hands to Jesus. Glad we got some that lift their voice to Jesus. Now bless Him for blessing us with that. And I go to a lot of places, they never get to see that or experience that. But sure am glad that we get to here. And I don't take that for granted. And the older I've got, the less I'm taking things for granted. And appreciate the Lord. Acts 4, verse number 32. I'd like to preach on a Bible character tonight. Bible said, in the multitude of them that believed, that was the early church, they were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now, this is amazing to me because in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Lord added to them about 3,000 souls. Somebody said, well, we live in a new era and a new day. Well, God hadn't changed. It can still be a crowd of people together in one heart and one soul. It don't have to be divided. The Bible said, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And watch, great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the prices of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. They didn't have to wait till fifth Sunday night to vote. Somebody say amen. Amen. And here's this character. And Joseph, who by the apostles had a surname, Barnabas, which has been interpreted the son of consolation or the son of exhortation or the son of encouragement. A Levite and of the country of Cyprus. That verse just said more than I got time to preach about. Verse 37, having land sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Thank y'all for standing tonight of honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, help me tonight. I sure do need You. Pray You let me be a blessing, be an encouragement to the people tonight. Thank You for the good singing. Thank You for our young people. Thank You for Brother Jason, Miss Amanda, the time they live and give. And Lord, I pray that Your blessings would continually be about them. Help us now in our church tonight. I pray that You would honor the reading of the Word of God. Touch us. Let us be a blessing. We'll be grateful. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, Barnabas steps up to the plate and he does something. News got out. And you'll notice that no doubt they didn't have a lot of things to do with this early church. They was very poor people. And all of a sudden it seemed like they might have had a boost in the Sunday's offering. There's a Bible character in chapter 5, that'll be another message. Ananias and Sapphira's wife, no doubt, was there and seen it and wanted to try to outdo somebody. And it's always tickled me the way people try to outdo somebody. But they got in trouble. I like what Brother Gerald told me one time, said, somebody lied, somebody died, and not near one of them cried. Somebody say amen right there tonight. But certainly in this early church, I want you to notice here about Barnabas, the encourager. I want to show you five traits tonight that would help us to be an encouraging Christian. Somebody told me this morning, I asked them how they're doing. They said, well, Pastor, don't you know you're not to ask old people how they're doing because they'll tell you. Well, that's so true, isn't it? But Barnabas, he had a surname. They put that name on him maybe because of his actions. You know, a lot of us have nicknames, and it's because of how we act or react or what we do. Amen. A lot of times that's where we get the surname or the nicknames, like acting like a bull in a china shop, just tear everything down. You know, people nickname you. Well, they named him Barnabas. And I want to say, first of all, they named him that because of his enormous hand. His enormous hand. I want you to notice, if you would, his title, his surname, Consolation or Encourager. I wonder, when somebody calls your name, does anybody ever think of you being an encourager? I want to say, if it's ever been a time that we ought to encourage, it is tonight. As Brother Lee prayed, these young people are facing things you and I never had to face. Down there in this schoolhouse, they're facing things that is unimaginable. There's mom and daddy's own jobs tonight facing things that they thought they never would have to face or tolerate. We live in a total new society, a new era, and a new day. And certainly his title, it was one of an encourager. And then you'll notice the Bible said in verse 36, not only his title, but his tribe. He was a Levite. And here the Bible teaches us that the Levites, they had custody of the tabernacle. They had special privileges. Did you know in the book of Deuteronomy, there they were not to work in a public work. They were not to plow or plant. But all of their dealings and their workings had to do with this tribe. It had to do with the house of God. And the house of God, the people, was to keep up the Levites. But here, this man had a different idea, because not only do we see his title and his tribe, but we see his treasure. Look where he was from. He wasn't from Bowden, neighbor. He was from Cyprus. You know where that was? That was a nice, well-to-do island in the midst of the Mediterranean. You know what this boy had? He had some water property. And it probably wasn't under the water either. That's a lot like a lot of boys trying to sell beach property in Bowden. It just don't work. But certainly here, his treasure. He had a place on an island. And isn't it a blessing that his treasure wasn't his treasure? The Bible teaches us to guard our treasure, for where our treasure is, there our heart is also. You always remember that. A lot of people get it backed up. Where your heart is, there's your treasure. Now, where your treasure is, there's your heart also. We better sure guard our heart, but we better guard our treasure, because it'll take us to our heart. Oh my, his treasure. He wasn't attached to it. He was a man of great giving. I like what he done. He brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. No strings attached. I like people that give like that. Matter of fact, God wants us to be cheerful givers. And I looked up some things on giving in Proverbs chapter number 11. I'm talking about this Bible character with this enormous hand. And I don't believe he was given for show. But in Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse 24, I don't know if you've ever underlined this verse or not, but you ought to underline it. Because the Bible says this, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Isn't it amazing in Luke's gospel, he says, give and it shall be given unto you. I wonder in this Bible character here with Bartimaeus and his giving, what he received for his giving. A lot of times I think a lot of people think, well, you know, if I give the Lord 20, he'll give me 25 back. I won't say sometimes it works that way, but not every time. Can I tell you that giving will bring you things that only giving will bring you? And it may not be a measure of a bank account. It may be things that money cannot buy. And so we're so materialistic. And I love this Christian in his giving, his enormous hand. I love quotes. I love something that's short and simple. I can remember that. I've never been able to sit under a preacher that would read me a by-verse sermon that he had typed out by 9 pages. I mean, I'd be ready for somebody to throw some water in my face or something. But I do love quotes that are short and impactful and right to the point. Amen. I try to remember that by preaching, like my pastor said, Brother LeBron. He said, now boy, listen, they don't pay you around here by the hour. Some of y'all get that after a while. But certainly, sometimes a man just can't cut his sermon off. But I want you to notice this, his treasure. Now here's some quotes on giving. Blessed are those who can give without remembering and take without forgetting. Have you ever had somebody, I had the other day, matter of fact, where I was this week, a young man came and he asked me, he said, preacher, do you remember giving me something one night at a meeting? I said, no, I didn't. I was at a college preaching a few weeks back. A man came to me and he said, do you remember giving me this that certain night? I said, no, I don't. And so blessed are those who can give without remembering and take without forgetting. You know, it's the little things people do for us. It's very important that we ought to not forget. And then we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And when you learn, teach, and when you get, give. I believe God allows us to have things that we may be a blessing. And certainly, watch this now, try to give away what you want yourself. It's easy to give stuff that you really don't care for. I mean, isn't that the truth? I remember Brother Randall's little old grand young and Nicholas. One night I was preaching, and I've told it so many times everywhere I preach. I had a tie on I just didn't like. It just didn't match, and I didn't tie good. I didn't like it. And you know, I said, well, it'd be easy for me to give you this tie away tonight because I don't care nothing for it. Lo and behold, that little old boy wanted it, so I give it to him. Amen. But that was easy to give him. But I wonder if God nudges your heart to give something that means something to you, would you give it? Boy, wouldn't that be a new concept in our life if we would always remember, try to give away what you want yourself. I was going to try to do something for one of our missionaries this week. And so I went to do it. As I got ready to go, God spoke to my heart and he said, no, don't do that out of missions. You do it out of your mission. I said, well, now, Lord, that's a little above my giving. You see, if it don't hurt you, it don't mean nothing to God. I can't tell you how many times when God has nudged my heart to do something, lo and behold, I turn around and there it's laying back right at me. Has anybody ever experienced that from their God tonight? And so certainly we see this Barnabas, he had an enormous hand. Try to give away what you want for yourself. A lot of times we ought to see how much we can give instead of how little we can give. No person was ever honored for what they received. They were honored for what they gave. Say that again. No person was ever honored for what they received, but he was honored for what they gave. The value of a man resides in what he gives and not what he is capable of receiving. It's possible to give without loving, but it's impossible to love without giving. That is so true. You know, a lot of times you say, boy, I'll be glad when my young ones get married off. Well, you're just going to gain some, all I can tell you. Amen. Because I found this, it's possible to give without loving, but it's impossible to love without giving. I'll be honest with you, I don't know if my children or my grandchildren could ask me for anything tonight, and if I had it, that I wouldn't give it to them if they really needed it. You know why? Because I love them. And it is possible, I found this with all my heart, to give without loving, but it's impossible to love without giving. If a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area in their life. Remember this, you can't serve God in money, but you can serve God with your money. I know to get quiet when I got on your little money. But I'm going to go on to my next point, because I got four more to share with you. That's not the only thing. Now, I've come to encourage you not to get your money. I don't know why all Baptists think every preacher's out to get their money. Money's part of worship, and it's part of the Bible. Give, it shall be given. You shout on John 3:16, shout on Luke. Enormous hand. I don't know how them young'uns sung so good at y'all tonight the way y'all look. The enormous hand. Number two, his enlarged heart. You ever heard the old leper can't change his spots? Well, won't you look what this Bible character done now the next time we find him. He just appears on the pages of our Bible in Acts 4 in this early church, and God starts using him. We find him in Acts 9 in verse number 20. Acts 9 in verse number 20. We're going to find him leading up to something here. One of the greatest preachers that's ever preached behind the Lord Jesus got saved in Acts chapter 9. The Apostle Paul. The Bible said, and after he got saved, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him was amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem, came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews that dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, back to that early church, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now here he is. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, disputed against the Grecians, for they went about to slay him. Verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied. Let me tell you something. Apostle Paul was a bad boy. Everybody in the town knew him, and he got saved, and nobody believed he got saved. Can I tell you, there's nothing impossible with God. There's a lot of things impossible with me and you. It's a lot of things impossible with Baptists. But there's nothing impossible with our God. Isn't that amazing that he came to the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road as Saul? Saul was out there making threatenings and slaughterings against the disciples of the Lord. And God, by His grace and mercy, shined that light on him and gloriously saved him. And he got up and nobody would welcome him in the family of God. That reminds me of a lot of dignified Baptist churches that I've been in where boys didn't look like us and didn't talk like us and walk like us. And God gloriously saved them. And they said, "We don't like him." Well, I wonder who would like you. I wonder if we got what we deserve where we'd be tonight. Hey, we better learn to be a Barnabas Christian and open our arms and say, "Jesus can, and Jesus saves, and Jesus will, and the lowest one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." God thought a lot of this boy. He come to him when he's minding his own business. Remind me of somebody else I knew. When I knew nothing about him, he loved me and tracked me down and introduced himself to me. And thank God for some Barnabases that's brought me in the family of God. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, I don't like them people look like that." Well, they don't like people look like you. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying his enormous hand, but his enlarged heart. Now, that's ministry to minister to. We always talking about we want to have a great ministry. And you know, no doubt God has saved some amazing people in our town from this church. And I realize that God can do anything. Matter of fact, when I could call three or four of them's name tonight, you'd recognize them just like that. And the community would say, "Well, they didn't get saved. We're not going to trust them. I wouldn't let them come to our church." Well, let me tell you something. I'm glad our doors are not locked, and I'm glad sinners can come in the house of God. And I'm going to tell you, the rougher the better, far as I'm concerned. Praise God. I'd love to have been in the church where Legion got saved. He went back, Brother Jason, wanting to go home with Jesus. He said, "Boy," said, "you can't do me no good in this boat. You stay back. You go home, tell your friends what great things Jesus has." Can you imagine when he come and joined that church? God, could you imagine people of whisper saying, "That's that boy used to run around town naked. That's the boy that's got all them scars where he wants to cut himself. That's that old boy mistreated his young'uns." I could just look at them big hobnogging Baptists, look at him. And about the time the pianist got on Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like that boy, jumped to his feet and said, "Hallelujah, what a Savior. I'm glad he come to my town and sat down and saved me by his amazing grace." Whoop, hallelujah. I'm glad God loves sinners. Thank God I'd rather be saved than anything I know tonight. I thank God that I'm saved, saved, saved by the good grace of God. You say, "Well, preacher, I ain't got many friends." Well, I'm glad we got one that's sticking closer than a brother. I want to say something. They not only could relate to Saul, but they couldn't regulate to Saul. They was wondering, they couldn't think where he had been. Now, I want to ask you something. What if I was the meanest guy in the town? Come in your church, God had saved me. Walked in and said, "Man, I'd love to go to church here, and nobody give me a seat. Nobody'd shake my hand." You say, "Well, preacher, I'm not friendly. I'm an emotion. I'm not emotional." Well, you talk, it means you got emotion. You wave means you got emotion. It don't take you much to stick your hand out and say, "Hey, how y'all doing?" A lot of churches have got welcoming committees. I say, "Phooey." I say, "Hogwash."
I say, you get off your backside and welcome people to the church house. Let them know they welcome down Liberty Baptist Church. And it ain't no biggins and it ain't no littlins. I say, hey, you be the welcoming committee tonight. If I come to your house and never say a word, you never even talk to me, don't you worry about me coming back. I'm not one of them boys going to worry you to death down your house. If I don't feel comfortable, I ain't a coming back. Life's too short to be miserable. It's hard enough around people that love you. What are you talking about? I tell you exactly what I'm talking about so you can understand it. I ain't going to Jack's with mean people. I ain't going to Waffle House with mean people. Life's too short. I'll stay home and eat my Dollar General Viner's two for a dollar. Somebody say amen. I'd rather be there than with a bunch of old snooty people. What's the rain they'd drown? His enormous hand, he enlarged heart. He said, I tell you what I'll do. I'll take him. Brought in the apostles, declaring to him how he'd seen them. You know what he said? Would y'all boys just give him a chance? You know, in life, that's really what anybody's wanting is just a chance. Can I tell you, we've all done enough wrong for everybody to throw us away, but ain't you glad that somebody's welcomed you in the family of God and took you? See, his name hurt him. But let me tell you something, it ought to not from the family of God. Maybe they was doubting God too much. God can do anything. You think that old neighbor down there that cusses you and despises you and is the town drunk and, I mean, is just absolutely not fit to kill. Let me tell you, God can save that person. I think they limited God. But not Barnabas. He had an enlarged heart. He said, Paul, I'm willing to take you. And then number three, not only did he have an enormous hand and an enlarged heart, but in Acts chapter number 11 and verse 19, you watch now, he's goes out on a preaching expedition with Apostle Paul. And they're back at this church at Antioch. And the Bible said in Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 19, not only did he have an enormous hand and a large heart, but he had enthused happiness. Enthused happiness. What are you talking about? Well, listen to what he hears and what he does. Now, they which were scattered abroad on the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but in the Jews only. Some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came in the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all, or encouraged them, that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. His enthused happiness. You know what? He was really happy that God was blessing another church. He was so proud that people was getting saved. You know, if we hear of other churches growing in the county, we ought to not have that green-eyed monster of jealousy come up in us. We ought to say, well, praise God, I'm glad he's doing it somewhere. Amen. Amen. Praise God, he's doing it somewhere. And look what he done. He didn't go in there and discourage them. He went down there and exhorted them. He said, be of good cheer. What God started, he'll finish. I want to be that kind of Christian that it will encourage people and not throw a wet blanket on the meeting when somebody's trying to get something started. I was below New Orleans this week. A young preacher boy just started out with a handful of people in a housetop. They experienced what we experienced years ago. People talking, making fun of, and laughing. But let me tell you, honey, God will have the last laugh.
Them folks come got saved down there Tuesday and Wednesday. God wasn't a laughing. He was a drawing and a moving. Amen. It was noise that he was in the house. And let me tell you something. I'm glad that God is still doing it in different parts of this country. We ought to thank God that not only does he move at this church, but he moves at other churches. I want to see this church grow. I want to see this church go. I want to see this church do great and mighty things. But honey, I'm not going to get jealous just because a sovereign God decides to do something somewhere else. I'm going to shout the victory and say, hooray for Jesus, amen. If they're getting saved and he's preaching out of a King James Bible, I'm going to shout for him every chance I get. Boy, his enthused happiness. He come in, he said, man, y'all doing good. It'd do you good to tell these young people sometimes, y'all doing good. It'd do you good on Wednesday night sometimes to tell them, y'all doing good. It'd do you good sometimes to tell Brother Mike, you're doing good, or Brother Adam, or Brother Randy, Brother Dwayne, you're doing good. It'd do good if you tell Brother Gerald sometimes, Brother Gerald, love them songs you write, you're doing good. Do you good to tell Brother Tim, Brother David, y'all boys doing good. Tell Miss Sherry, Miss Faye, y'all doing good. Y'all tell Brother Randy sometimes, thank God taking all that load off our preacher. Well, yeah. I'll be honest with you, I know it probably ain't right. But there's been people come to this church just hunting stuff to say and to run me down, run y'all down. Join this church. Every time you ask them, they want to know what's bad, what's wrong. They just go on a mealy mouth, talk about me, talk about Brother Mike, and they leave. I ain't calling them. I'm sorry, I ain't calling them. Y'all can do that whatever you want to. Y'all can be glutton for punishment. I ain't. Did y'all understand what I just said? I said, I'm not a glutton for punishment. I'm for helping anybody, loving anybody. But let me tell you, I'm not going to throw gas on a fire that's trying to discourage this church, discourage this preacher. I say, there's the highway, there's the door. You don't like it, it ain't locked. Saranara, El Segundo, see you in the rapture if you're saved by the good grace of God. And I don't want to be mean, but I'm not compromising. I'm not sitting down listening to people running down people as good as this church has got. And a preacher won't fight for his people. He ain't much of a preacher. Hallelujah. His enormous hand, his enlarged heart, his enthused happiness. But look, in verse 24, his endorsed honor. Somebody called him a Christian. Isn't that something? For he was a good man, verse 24, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, taught much people, and disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. What a endorsed honor that somebody would call us a Christian. What an honor to be called a narrow-minded Baptist. What an honor to be called a hard preacher. What an honor to be called one of them old hellfire and brimstone preachers. What an honor to be called a Christian when you're not laughing at their jokes. His endorsed honor. And lastly, won't you look what happened to him in Acts 15 and 36. His encouraging help. I love this man. He is willing to take a chance on somebody. Had a man call me last week. Said, you mean to tell me you're going to take that chance with him? I sure am. I believe when a man's heart has got right with God and he's doing all he or she can do, I think we ought to support him and try to be a blessing to him. In Acts 15:36, some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city. and let's see how they're doing. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark, or John Mark. Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now I want to show you where John Mark left Paul. Look in Acts 13. Paul's first missionary journey. In Acts 13, in verse number 3, they had fasted and prayed. They laid their hands on him and sent him away. They'd been sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Cilicia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John, or John Mark, to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer. And he was Elymas, the sorcerer, in verse 8. Verse 9, Saul, who is called Paul, filled the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. He said, "You child of the devil, you're an enemy of righteousness." Now, Paul had backbone in his preaching. Somebody say amen right there. "Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." Immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. The deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and here it is, and John, or John Mark, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, watch your Bibles back in Acts 15 and 36. John Mark had left Paul. For what reason, we don't know, but we can tell you this. Paul didn't like it. Paul didn't like it because he left out from him and went back to Jerusalem, to the home church. Whether if it was too hard, I don't know. Maybe Paul was too hard of a man to sleep by. I don't know. Maybe Paul didn't eat enough to suit him. I don't know. I've heard a lot worse excuses to go back home than that. Maybe somebody didn't shake his hand. Maybe somebody preached on tithing. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, he went back to Jerusalem. Paul didn't like it. Let me tell you, buddy, Paul wasn't no Mickey Mouse preacher. He'd call a devil, and look at him. Now watch your Bible, an encouraging help. And so watch, here it is. Verse 37, "And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Paul thought it not good to take him with him who departed." Verse 39, and watch what happens between Paul and Barnabas. "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the bread and the grace of God, went through Syria, Cilicia, confirming the churches." What's your point, preacher? All right, I want to give these points. I'll be done. First of all, don't listen to everything you hear. This young man had a reason for leaving, and Paul said, I'm not taking you. But Barnabas stepped up to the plate, and he said, "You know what? I see something in him I think God can use." And you know what? This thing about it. Y'all watch me now. If it's let you go in 5 minutes, I try to promise. Paul couldn't say a word to Barnabas for what he just done. You know why? Because he done it for Paul. He took Paul when nobody else would take Paul. Now why would Paul have a beef with him when he's took somebody Paul didn't want? Chickens come home to roost, didn't they? He couldn't open his mouth. The preacher asked me, he said, "You mean tell me you're going to take this boy, put him under your wing and help him?" I said, "I sure am, because you know what? All I see is a young preacher that ain't got a preacher, and every preacher needs a preacher. I've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes.
And thank God for people says, boy, get up and brush off and go on. Ain't you glad we serve a God, Brother Adam, a God of second chances? I know what David done was wrong. I know it's totally wrong. He suffered for it. The sword never departed from his life. But he was a man after God's own heart. If you don't believe he's not a God of second chance, you better not read the book of Psalms much, because he wrote most of it. What an encourager that would take him and encourage and help. He said, you know what? I'm going to encourage him. I'm not going to discourage him. Can I say it's enough discouraging people? We ought to encourage people. You younger people, be careful. Don't laugh at these old folk that get to hurting and can't come to church and walking funny. I'm becoming one of them. Age is no respecter of person. I seen yesterday, and I'm going to get worldly on you just a minute, and I'll reel you back in. I was watching the Golf Channel. And you know, Arnold Palmer in the 60s, he was the Tiger Woods of the day. Man, he had a golf swing, Brother David. It's unbelievable what him and Jack Nicklaus could do. And I see him yesterday, Brother Dwayne. There's out there old men barely bent over that ball, can just barely do this. I said, boys, don't laugh at them. Time ain't no respecter of person. So you young people, let me tell you something. Don't be too critical of your elders. Don't listen too much to everything you hear. You just be an encourager and a blesser and do what God's wanting you to do in your heart. Let me tell you, Paul didn't understand Barnabas because they had sharp contention between them. He said, ain't no way I'd touch that boy. Barnabas said, I see something in him. I see something in him you couldn't get out of him. I think I can get it out of him. Said, the reason you don't see it in him because you ain't looking hard enough to be looking to find it in him. Said, if you just keep a looking in him, you can find something you can help him with. I want to be an encourager. Did you know something? It worked. Did you know in Paul's dying days he seen a mistake? He seen that a man could get something out of somebody else that he couldn't. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, look what he said. He said, verse 7, I fought a good fight, finished my course, and kept the faith. He said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Then he said, verse 9, do thy diligence come shortly to me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Depart to Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke's with me. And I wonder when the Holy Ghost was pinning him down. You know, sometimes how the Holy Ghost gets you to do stuff, you know, and you just, and he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me. For the ministry. I want to say old Barnabas must have done a pretty good job because he wrote the book of Mark. It's amazing what some don't see but what God sees. I leave you with these quotes tonight and I'll be done. An encourager. Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. Isn't that true? Y'all listen to me. I'll be done. 3 minutes. Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. I'd rather be a failure at something I love than a success at something I hate. Listen to this. Big jobs usually go to the people who prove their ability to outgrow small ones. The trouble with not having a goal is that you can spend your life running up and down the field and never score. The person who says something is impossible should not interrupt the person who is doing it. It's not because things are difficult that we do not dare. It's because we do not dare the things that are difficult. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. And small minds discuss people. If opportunity don't knock, build a door. When you can't change the direction of the wind, adjust your sail. Talk about being an encourager. To wish you were someone else is to waste the person you are. Listen to this last one. Confidence comes not from always being right, but not fearing to be wrong. I want to be an encourager. I mean, what people's doing for God, I want to say, glory to God. I want to see you do better. Strive for the mark, the prize that's before us. Encourage your children. Don't beat them down. Encourage them. Push them forward. People by your pew behind you. Good to see you today. Boy, I'm glad you made it here. Some people usually here on Sunday night usually don't come. You ought to go and say, you know, I appreciate you making the effort to be here tonight. I want to be an encourager. I wish I could take every young preacher I got and let them preach every Sunday night, but I can't. But I do want to help young preachers. A lot of preachers are so jealous of young preachers, they don't want to give them a chance. Well, I want to keep the best here preaching. I can keep up here preaching. I know I got three or four out preaching me. Praise God. Wait till they get over 50 with a neck replacement. Well, you ready to go? I'm going to let you go. Stand up tonight. I want to be an encourager. Turn around and smile at somebody by night. Shake your hand. Say, how you doing? Turn around and say, how you doing? How you doing?